The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Christmas is a time to celebrate the love of God. That's the best. God started initiating, showing the world His love in the birth of Christ. And indeed, His best endure forever and ever. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for this great opportunity to fellowship around your word. We receive your blessings. We receive the word with clarity. Let lives be blessed. Let men be touched. Let situations be turned around. Let everything fall in place for good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me hear a big amen in Jesus' name. Okay, let's be seated. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. One of the creativity guys should come and fix up this. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me ask your neighbor, why didn't you travel for Christmas? Don't you have village? Find out from the person. You don't have a village? What happened? Because people that have village have all traveled for Christmas. Glory to God. They've all traveled for Christmas. But I have village. Amen. I have village. Do you have a village? So what are you doing here? Allah will to, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to thank God. A lot of our people have traveled, but the beautiful thing to still be here this morning. Okay. And I think this will tell you that in church, we don't go on break. Amen. We don't go on vacation. If all of you want to travel, I'll preach. Yeah, alone, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Okay, so this morning, I will be teaching. I don't know what we're going to title this, but it's a long topic. Amen. Do you have your writing materials? Learning God from the Christmas story. Amen. I'll be teaching about the character of God from the Christmas story, using the Christmas story as our reference point. We're going to talk about the Christmas story. You see, the death and the resurrection of Christ is the greatest proof or display of the character of God. Thank you, guys. The death and the resurrection of Christ. Okay? If you want to know what God is like in its whole form, you have to look first, not even his birth, we're talking about his birth this morning, but you have to look at his death. In his death and resurrection, God was revealed. Let me celebrate my friend Evangelist Franklin, everybody. Hallelujah. Amen. Evangelist Franklin is one of the guys that, in fact, he's my friend. You know, I don't have many friends in this life, yeah? Yeah, I have only two friends in my whole life, and he's one. Glory to God. Every other person that are my friends. Amen. And we started all this together. We started ministry together as way back as 2006. Hallelujah. And this guy has been here. Amen. Glory to God. And we happen to come from the same place. So this is far. Amen. You need to be under this guy's ministration one of these days. Hallelujah. And so Christ's death and resurrection reveals the death, the character and the image of God in its full form. In looking at Christ's resurrection, we are seeing what God is like. Now the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. He said, God is love. 1 John 4 verse 16. He will teach us about the character of God as love. The character of God as love. Glory to God. He's on the screen already. Let's read together, everybody. If he's on your Bible, on the screen. Anyone? 1, 2, 3, go. And we have known and believed. Do you have a voice? Let me hear your voice. And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. As I tell us, if you're looking for the simplest way to define God, it's not hard to see. God is love. The simplest definition of God. Some people want to call God many things. They call him war. They call him fire. They call him the simplest way and the most complete way to describe the person of God, that God is love. He said, I know sometimes God can heal. God is a healer. But when you call God love, you've summarized everything he represents in one. Because the one that loves will heal. The one that loves will deliver. Amen? The one that loves will save. So God is love. He said, if you don't know love, you don't know God. If you don't know love, you don't know, I don't care what you're doing. You don't know love, you don't know God. So in God, we see that he is love. And 1 John chapter 3, just the previous verse, number 16, will tell us that in Christ and the resurrection, we see his love. The Bible said, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. So where do we see the love of God? In that he laid down his life for us. Say amen. So in Christ laying down his life for us, we see that his love, and that love he's showing is the fullness of his character. Now, whenever we get to Easter period, and even every time in this church, because I'm not a pastor that preaches Christ's resurrection only during Easter. No, I don't believe in that. Okay, because actually Christ's resurrection is the central focus of the whole gospel that we preach. That's the only thing we preach. So if you reserve it till only Easter period, then you preach the gospel only once every year. Say amen. So, but then, we teach that. But this one, I'm going to talk about the Christmas story, the birth of Christ, the incarnation. In studying the incarnation and the birth of Christ, you will still begin to learn about the love of God. Or rather, about the character of God. There are 5 lessons we can learn about God from looking at just the Christmas story. The first lesson you learn about God is what I taught last time at Echoes. The fact that God cannot lie. The Christmas story is one of the greatest proof that God does not lie. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, Isaiah prophesied, he said, a virgin shall conceive and be with a child. Abi? Isaiah 9 verse 6? Or is that unto us a child is born? Which one? Unto us a child is born, yes. Then unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder and all that. And that was a prophecy about the birth of Christ. That prophecy was given many years ago. Christmas proved that when God says a thing, he will keep it. I get the point. The fact that over 2,000 years before the birth of Christ, a man called Isaiah, many other prophets, they prophesied. You know, when Moses was about to die, he said to them, a prophet will God raise in my stead. He said, listen to him. And that was talking about Christ. Moses prophesied about this many years ago. When Adam sinned, God told him, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. That was a prophecy about Christ. In Christmas, he proved to us that God keeps to his words. And I get the point. That God keeps. So in Christmas, you see that God does not lie. In Christmas, you see that when God says a thing, he keeps it. You know, I say this during Echoes. People ask questions like, they're saying Jesus is coming. When is he going to come? We've been hearing that forever. Listen, the prophecy about the first coming of Christ took over 4,000 years to be fulfilled. The first time it was ever spoken was in Genesis 3. When the Bible said, the seed of the woman shall bruise it up, this happened. It took 4,000 years, but it was still fulfilled. Is a proof that when God says a thing, he must do it. I listen to me. Every time we get to Christmas, I go over this in my head again. It reminds me that one day a man stood up and prophesied that this will happen. It took all the time and it happened. And it always assures me that period that whatever God has said to me must come to pass. Because in Christmas, we see that he said it and he did it. Even though what he said was an impossible thing. A virgin shall conceive and be with a child. Who talks like that? Do you know what that statement means? A virgin, I'm coming to that shortly. A virgin conceiving and being with a child means that the virgin will conceive and still be a virgin. That's an impossible thing. Imagine if you are Isaiah and prophesying that. Just come to people and say, one day, a woman that is a virgin, without knowing any man, we have Caribele. You see, it was an impossible thing, but it was the word of God.
And one of the things when I was meditating about this last night, one of the things that he made me know is, he told me, he said, everything I ask you to say, say it. You see, when God talks to you about something, stop thinking about how it will be fulfilled. It is his job to fulfill it. Are you guys getting me? His job, you know, being a pastor, sometimes giving word of knowledge or word of wisdom can be very tough. Especially as a pastor. Imagine God sends you to somebody. Somebody you know cannot, because being a pastor, you are involved in people's life. I know almost everybody here. I know how you're coping. I know your account. I know how much you're earning from some of you. And then, you know this guy is earning 38,000 naira every month. And then the Lord says, sends you to him and says, in 2 months, you own your own property, your own landed property. You see, when God tells you that kind of thing, you have to trust God to say it. Are you getting the point? You're not a visiting minister. If you're a visiting minister, you can say it and run. If it's not fulfilled, it's fine. It's the pastor that will carry it. But when you're the pastor, if you say it as the 2 months is approaching, it's counting down. You know, a mentor of mine was sharing a story of how he met a guy in his church. The guy is doing well, doing a very good oil job. Gave him a dangerous word about prosperity. Said, in how many months' time, God is going to change everything and you are going to start earning times four. You're going to have times four what you have now. The guy was earning well. He was an oil worker. The prophecy came on Sunday. He lost his job on Monday. Say amen. He said the next Wednesday, when the guy was coming to church with a letter, he was thinking, he was coming to say, Pastor, the Lord has done it. I'm promoted. The guy gave me, he said, so the man of God was like, wow, has God done it? He said, I've lost my job. But you see, God cannot lie. You know, when you see those words, you see, the whole Old Testament, I don't know if I should say this today, the whole of Old Testament, from Genesis, every war, fight, battle you saw in the Old Testament was to fight against that word in Genesis 3 to stop the seed from coming. I've thought this before, right? But maybe not today. Everything. Why did Cain kill Abel? Abel, see, when Satan heard that prophecy, Abel came, he thought this must be the seed. He inspired Cain, killed them. It's not him. Seth came. They kept pushing. When he finally found out that this will come from Israel, he began to fight that nation with everything. You see, the reason why Pharaoh woke up one day and said, kill every child. I get the point. Every male child under 2 was to fight that seed. I get the point. To stop that seed from coming. Kill every male child under 2. That plan failed. When he found out it was the house of David, he did everything to scatter that house. That plan still stood strong. When the seed was finally born, he launched his final attack. Herod stood up and said, see, wipe out every child under 2. They were fighting that war. You see, when God gives a word, trust his own integrity. He will keep it. Are you getting me, guys? In the Christmas story, we see that God is able to sustain what he said. Over hundreds of years, and make sure it comes to pass. And that's the beauty of the character of God. That when he says a thing, he sustains it. And in Christ, in that story, in the birth of Christ, we see that God really can keep his word. So the young man lost his job Monday. Lord is on Wednesday. Well, he knew how to engage the word of God. So the pastor said, so are you demoralized? He said, no, I'm not. You spoke a word. He kept declaring. He just started eating his savings. I kept applying. It took months. After like 2-3 months, we got an employment letter from a very big company. The problem is, this letter was somewhere he applied, I think, 2 or 3 years before. And they had offered him the job otherwise. I'm telling you a real story. But they didn't send it. They sent this guy the letter and paid him all the arrears in 1 month. Say amen. There is a God that keeps to his words. So when he's, notice what happens. Whenever those kind of words come, you begin to see fight from everywhere. What Satan is attacking is your heart not to believe that word. He can't stop the word. But it can stop you from believing it. So in the Christmas story, we see that God said that one day a virgin is going to have a child. And he so pleased that that word came to pass. Who, Titus chapter 1 verse 2 will tell us, the God who cannot lie. How many of you remember it goes? The God who cannot lie. The God that when he says a thing, he monitors the word to see that it comes to pass. And that's the God you're serving. And so we learn the character of God as a God that keeps to his words in the Christmas story. The second thing we see in the Christmas story about the character of God is that he is a God that loves man tremendously. You know, there was this argument that some of these guys that say they are agnostics or whatever, they were trying to say, I mean, that was Satanists, that God is wicked. That angels rebelled against God, and man rebelled against God, and God came and saved man and ignored angels. Glory to God. And actually, I told them, you actually quoted the Bible. That's the book of Hebrews. He said he stepped out to save the Son of Man, not angels. It was deliberate. In Christmas, we see how God became man. You know, whenever you think of Jesus was born today, think of how God, you know, we used to sing, that's Agidiba God. Just to be able to save man, compressed himself in a baby, subjected himself to the womb of a woman, the woman he created. Not some of you to think that God sent Jesus. Well, that's okay to say. But in reality, God is Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, he said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. It's not that he sent anybody. He was manifest in the flesh. If you're looking for God, God is Jesus. Jesus is God. So that God that is Jesus compressed himself. Hallelujah. The Agidiba God. The God that sits in heaven and the earth is his footstool. Compressed himself in a baby and entered the womb of a woman. Just be able to save man. It's like, you know, I was explaining the last 2 years to us. It's like when you are a human being and you have to save ants or chickens. Do you remember that? And the only way you're going to save them is that you're going to become an ant or become a chicken. And you have to compress yourself, reduce yourself to their level, enter inside the egg of a chick, and they hatch you, and then give birth to you. And you notice, and you grow. It's not like they just get birth. Jesus did not drop from heaven. And they didn't give birth to him and he said, wow, now I'm here. I started talking. No, he grew normally. Took all that stress. You know, Philippians chapter 2 will tell us, and verse 6 will tell us the story in a very amazing way. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 6. Okay, let's work with NLT. Glory to God. I say glory to God. It is a proof. It is a story of the love of God. It's a story of how much God loves man. He says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God. Notice he said, though he was God. He didn't say he was like God. He was God. Yes, he didn't think of equality with God as something, hallelujah, as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death. So it was love that made him come and came as a baby. And I can tell you, friends, in every time we get to Christmas, I think of how this world would have been if there was no Christ. Hallelujah. I think of how this world would have been if there was no Christmas. If Jesus didn't come, there would have been no hope for the human race till now. You know, the coming of Jesus changed everything. How many of you know this? It's not just believers. It changed everything about this world. You say, 100 BC, 200 AD. Do you know what I'm talking about? The death of Christ. BC before Christ.
Amen.
It changed everything. Even countries that don't accept Christianity are celebrating Christmas today.
Say amen.
They don't like God. He's coming, changed the entire course of history. But it was his love that brought him.
Are you getting me, guys?
He could have as well refused to come. But in his love, he came. Deity became human. Deity became human. Bible says he took the humble position of a slave. It was degrading, but God did it. So every time we talk about Christmas, we are talking about the story of the love of God. Not somebody gave a word this morning and talked about how God loves you no matter what you've done. You see, whenever you begin, it is Satan that makes you feel like God doesn't love you. There are different ways God has proved that he loves you, starting from his birth. I guess it means starting from it is Satan that makes you feel like God doesn't love you. And the thing that people believe that God doesn't love me or God loves me, but when I made that mistake, God now left me. Or he turned his back on me. It's a very silly statement to make. In fact, you're making that statement because you're not thinking. The God that left heaven to come when you are not even saved. You know, he did not change before he came. Before you even he came, that same God will this will come when you have not changed, when you're not even born again. He didn't even know if you're going to accept him or not. But he came. And now when he now saves you, you now make one mistake. He now angrily throw you away. Say, I'm done with you in this life. That's not God. The God we are serving is the God that sacrificed, gave up his divine privileges and became a baby to be able to relate with us. And throughout his earth work, even before we get to the cross, throughout his earth work, he kept proving that he's a God of love. There was no sick person that reached out to him that he did not heal. He saw them. There was no burial he attended that held. I get the point. You will see them carrying a child. He will stop the dead child and the guy will come back to life. There was no wedding he went to that the wine finished. No, the guy was just showing love. He was loving men. He was loving men. That's what Christmas reminds us of. The love of God. And I'd like you to hit your chest and say, God loves me. Say it again. Say it again. You need to know this until it sinks inside you. God loves you. And nothing you do can ever change that. He loves you unrepentantly. And there is nothing you can do about it. Hallelujah. He loves you unrepentantly. And you can do nothing about it. Hallelujah. What I mean is, there is nothing you do that will ever change his mind. I'll never change his mind. You know, God is omniscient. He knows all things. Hallelujah. And you're thinking, where he was leaving heaven to come to earth, he didn't know that you're going to be sometimes inconsistent. He knew. That's why he offered his help. But to turn his back on you, he won't do that. He loves you. So every time we are eating Christmas chicken. Amen. You know, talking about Christmas this morning, a lot of people have been arguing, you know, Christmas and 25th December is not Christmas. It's the day Jesus was born. Well, let me answer that. I don't know why I'm letting you say that. Let me answer that. Jesus was not born on 25th of December. Say amen. It wasn't. In fact, by Jewish calendar, 25th of December, it's not even in December that he was born. Say amen. The possibilities are around August and all that, but not today. Amen. However, the church came together. For whatever reason, people say that's pagan origin. Well, that's a possibility because then, you know, we are presenting most of the things that the feast that celebrates in has its foundation in Rome. And some of those. Amen. Yeah, and some of these dates, you are dates for Roman peace and all that, pagan peace. But you see, if the church has come together, because man is God's method, amen, and God recognizes what man does. If the church has come together and have decided, okay, well, that today we're going to celebrate, the day we celebrate Easter, is that the day Jesus died? We just decided. Hallelujah. I hope you know you can decide to change your birthday. And we all have to accept that as your birthday. But don't do it in Jesus. Amen. So we are not saying it was that day you are born. We're just celebrating you. Amen. My birthday can fall in on a Wednesday, and I decide, no, I'm going to celebrate it on a Sunday during service, and that day it holds. Are you getting the point? Yeah, so it doesn't change anything. So we're not saying Jesus was born that day. We are saying we are celebrating the day he was born on that day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God loves man. It's a proof that God loves man. And so every time you think of Christmas and eating Christmas chicken, remember that we are celebrating the love of God. We are celebrating the love of God. We are celebrating the love of God. How he came and was born in a manger. Celebrating his love. The third thing we learn about the character of God from Christmas, and this is amazing, is that, you know, Amos chapter 3 verse 7. Let me show you. Amos 3 verse 7. We'll talk about how God will not do anything until he reveals it to his servants. Amos 3 verse 7. Then surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophet. NLT said, indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything, until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophet. And we learn this about the character of God from Christmas. That in Christmas, we see that God will not act until he shows us what he will do. Right from the Old Testament, he spoke to Isaiah. He spoke to Jeremiah. He spoke to every Old Testament prophet. He spoke to them. If you read their prophecies, you will see them prophesy about the birth of Jesus. And until when he was born, immediately, you know, it wasn't Mary and Joseph that announced that Jesus has been born. It was God himself that went and met the shepherds and told them the guy has been born. Are you getting the point? And this blessed me a great deal earlier this morning when I was just going over it in my head. The fact that the greatest project God ever did, which was the birth of Christ and consequently later his death, he had to reveal it to man before he did it. You know, God values man a lot. He had to reveal, not one man, to men. The likes of Simeon, you know Simeon and Anna, who were in the temple, who were praying. God even told them, see, you're not going to die until you see Jesus come. So God revealed his plans about the birth of Christ to his servants before they were ever born. Before he was ever born, rather. And that's amazing. And you know, when I read this, I just didn't know when I announced myself. I said, you see, nothing can take me by chance. The Lord God will do nothing until he tells his servants. I'm a servant of God, in case you don't know. And you are a servant of God. He will do nothing. He is the God that will talk to his children about his plans before he carries them out. And I'm saying this to activate something on your inside this morning. I'm saying this to make you begin to place some demands on some events in your life. So this should not just happen to a believer by chance. God will not permit anything to happen on earth. He doesn't tell his prophets. He doesn't tell his servants. Of which you are one. The Bible says we are kings and priests unto our God. Amen. So there is nothing that should happen in your life. You know, I got to time I told myself, and I want you to say this about yourself too. I said, in my family, nothing can ever happen here without my knowledge. Amen. I've been saying this for like, you know me for long, for more than 10 years, I've been saying this. Nothing can happen without my knowledge. Nothing. If anything happens without my knowledge, I will reverse it. Are you getting me? Nothing can happen without my knowledge. Not talk about anything negative. The Lord God does nothing. He had to go as far as, before the birth of Christ, he had to tell every prophet. He told David, he told Isaiah, he told Ezekiel, all of them were prophesying. He told Amos, he told all of them. You know that people in the Old Testament have the books we call major prophets and minor prophets, right? You know why they're called major prophets? The CRK. So let me see. You know why they're called major prophets? Talk. Answer it and fail it. So I can tell you. Huh? What are the major prophets? Isaiah. Jeremiah. Okay. The reason they are called major prophets and minor prophets is not people think it's the books, because maybe Isaiah wrote big books. No, that's not true. The reason is simply because the major prophets spoke much about the coming of Christ. So the major thing about prophesying about was about the birth of Christ. God took time to explain to his servants that Jesus was going to be born before he was born. When he was born, he also went to tell his servants that the guy has been born. And that shows a lot about the character of God. See, God is not someone that wants to sweep you off your feet and take you unawares. That's why you notice whenever you begin to pray, those flashes of light that come on your inside, it is God revealing his intentions to you. Are you getting me? When you hear, you're praying in your spirit, I don't like all this walking around. Everybody just please settle down. When you're praying and you are hearing things like, I will bless you. Your finances is blessed. That is God showing you what he wants to do. For instance, in this Enugu, the Lord wants to save thousands of people next year. He has shown us. He will do nothing. Everything God wants to do, his people know about it. God is sovereign, right? But he will not act without telling us. And that's the amazing thing about God. And I like nothing we go, and some of you that are going to be parents very soon or that are parents already, you should begin to place demands on the life of your children that nothing can happen to this one without my permission, without my knowledge. It is your right, because that's the kind of God you serve. Even the birth of his own child did not come without, he told many men that this year will come. Hallelujah. And let me even take it a step further. He won't even allow the devil to do anything without telling you. Are you getting me? He won't let the devil do anything without letting his servants know. And we learn that in the birth of Christ, that he is a God that communicates his mind to people. I'm going to digress a little, or maybe just slow up a little, to talk about hearing from God. That's why every believer must be trained on how to recognize the voice of God. Because actually, God speaks to every believer. I don't teach believers how to hear from God. You don't teach a child how to hear from his father. They just need to know to recognize his voice. And how to recognize his voice is very simple. By, you know, how do children recognize their parents' voice? How? Constant interaction. The more they're talking. That's why if you make yourself a person of prayer, and a person that studies the word, you pray, study the word constantly, you will hear God's voice. They don't teach people how to do that. Once a child is talking with the father, if the child every day, no, that's why you notice if a man has a child and is never around, the child can grow to 2 years and not know the father's voice. Amen? If the father wants the child to know his voice, they should keep talking. And that's how it is. See, that's why I want to challenge you to take prayer and the study of the word very strong in this period, and begin to train yourself how to recognize God's voice. It will save you a lot of battles. You know, Brother Hagin said the Lord told him, and I want to say this emphatically, and as some of us, 22, the Lord told him, if you follow the inward witness, I will make you rich. He said that is the greatest secret to his wealth. The guy, you know, Brother Hagin had money. Doesn't talk about it, but the guy had money. Had money, he had, you know, I think it was Brother Tokes that was saying he had one watch or that so that he used to wear then that was, I think, full gold, pure gold, and what I think up to, let me not misplace the word, but thousands of dollars. Just a wristwatch was wearing. You know, Brother Hagin wouldn't say much about it. But the guy had money. But he said the secret was, if you follow the inward witness, I'll make you rich. It was the last time he just appeared to him. You see, he had a lot of visions of Jesus. Amen. Jesus appeared to him many times. So the last time he appeared to him, Jesus told him, I will not appear to you in this way again and talk to you this way again. And he was like, what did I do anything? He said, no. He said, from today, I'll begin to talk to you as I talk to every other of my children. And that's through their inward witness. He said, if you follow that inward witness, I will make you rich. That's why you don't just close deals anyhow. You don't just get into business anyhow, or make plans anyhow. There is a God talking to you on your inside. Follow that voice. He will do nothing without telling you. I didn't get the point. He will do nothing without telling you. I would allow the devil to do anything without letting you know. If he's going to give you money, he will tell you. If that deal is going to pay, he will tell you. If that job will go through, he will tell you. Are you listening to me, guys? You learn that from the Christmas story. So in Christmas, we see that God actually is a revealer of his intentions before he does them. And I'm praying for you that from this day, nothing will take you unawares again. I say nothing will take you unawares again. Before it happens, you will know it. Before it happens, you will know. That's true. Before it happens, you will know. You need to come to us. And this, the way is not hard. Stay in the place of prayer. Once you are talking to God, they will be talking to you. I get it, guys. God is not a snob. Doesn't snob. God is not someone that you are talking to. I say, no. I'm just looking at you. I'm not talking. You just turn and say, oh. Once you're talking, he's talking. In the place of prayer for long, you will be able to know how his voice sounds and what it sounds like. They don't need to teach you. Because actually, by the time you now grow to begin to know what his voice sounds like, you will know that he has been talking to you all the while. Glory to God. He does nothing without revealing to his children. You know, in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, we see the story of Simeon. The story of Simeon. The guy was in the temple waiting for the birth of Jesus. God had told him that he will not see death. So God told him that Jesus was born. Hallelujah. Mary didn't suddenly become pregnant. God told him, or told her rather, that you'll be pregnant. And that is the thing about God. He will do nothing without any children. Okay. When Joseph became confused about all that, God appeared to him. And an angel came to him and said, see, don't worry. Everything is fine. Just take your wife back. He will do nothing without telling his children. He never leaves us in the dark. Never. Are you getting me, guys? Know this about God forever. He will never leave you in the dark. Never. When the child was born, he went as far as telling the shepherds, the child has been born. And so everybody that was waiting for the coming of Jesus, immediately he came. He told them. And the things going on in your life should not be happening by accidents again. So train yourself. 2022 will be a year of the inward witness. If you will follow the inward witness, you will make so much progress in the coming year. If you will follow the inward witness. And let me say this to you guys. Fraud is going to increase in the coming year. Take that as a prophecy. It's a word of God, it's a word from God, and write and never forget it. When it begins to happen, remember I said it. Fraud will increase. More people will attempt to dupe people. Yeah. More people, and it might look so real. Heavy fraud. But there is safety in the voice in your heart. There is safety in the inward witness. Don't attempt to anybody. Without listening to your spirit man. Don't attend to anybody. No matter how it really looks. Don't make any investment. Without listening to your spirit man. Without listening to your spirit man. Don't make journeys anyhow. Don't travel anyhow. Don't sign contracts anyhow. Because God wants to talk to you about it before you do it. And if you will listen to him, nothing of yours will be lost. And that's God's plan. If you will listen to him, nothing of yours will be lost. And especially some of you that are around, thank you, Father, that are around the whole crypto industry, the whole crypto space, fraud will increase in the coming year. Notice that, never forget it. Amen? Listen to your inward witness. Pay attention there. Pay attention to your inward witness. It will keep you safe. Hallelujah. But because God will do nothing and he will not let the devil do anything without revealing it to his children. And we learn that from this Christmas story. Hallelujah. You notice he revealed to a point that if you read the Old Testament, he even revealed every detail, even where Christ will be born. He said it will be in Bethlehem. Everything. He was that detailed. And that's why if you have plans for next year, if I let me even give an advice. I tell people don't not to make plans. You see, and this will help you. Don't make plans and invite God into the plan. Let God show you the plan in his heart and you walk in it. Can I say it again? Don't make plans and then invite God into the plan. Let God show you the plans in his heart, then you begin to walk in it. Don't go and marry somebody that we don't know and invite God into the marriage. No. Marry who God has showed you. That's the truth. Don't just start any business and say, Father, come and help this business. That's why people say how to catch a vision is you read books, beautiful things. The easiest way to catch a vision is in the place of prayer. In the place of prayer, you begin to see what God will have you do. Are you getting me? Don't make plans and then say, come, Holy Ghost, come and support the plan. No. He has his own plans. And I say this to you, in your business, God has his own plans. In your finances, he has his plans. And that his plan will do you good. It's of good and of evil. It's of good. Hallelujah. He has his plans. He will not execute it without telling you. In fact, let me say this to you. The reason why he will tell you before he executes it is because he cannot even execute it if you don't agree with it. Amen? He has plans for you, which he will not execute if you don't agree with. If God wants to bless you financially, wants to increase your finances, and I tell you, God wants to do that. Amen? Now, if he wants to do that, he will have to tell you. And when he tells you, you have to agree and incorporate with the instructions he will give you. Then the finances will come. If you refuse to agree or refuse to cooperate with him, the finances will not come. What is happening is God has said something, but because you refuse to agree with it or you didn't hear him, it didn't happen. So I tell you guys, we learn from Christmas that there is nothing God will ever do without telling his children. Hallelujah. Whatever he will do, he will have to tell you about it and he will tell you how he's going to do it, and you better listen to him. The fourth thing we learn about the character of God from the Christmas story is that God protects his own. Say amen. I say God protects his own. And this season, God is going to protect you. I say God will protect you. I say God will keep you safe. You know, in Matthew chapter 2, and I already mentioned it already, immediately the prophecy about the birth of Jesus dropped. Every force in heaven and on earth began to walk against that prophecy. Began to walk against everybody connected to that lineage. Everybody. I can take you through history from Genesis down to Malachi. Everybody, everything was working to see that prophet does not come to pass. But you see, God protects his own. Notice how every battle in the Testament, if you have time, go back, read the genealogy of Jesus, Matthew chapter 1. This one begat this one. Everybody in that list had stories around them. Every battle in the Testament, God was careful to keep that lineage safe. You know, Matthew chapter 2, I'll show you from verse 1. So everybody put up on the screen. Let's read together. Everybody look at the screen. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's read the New Living Translation. Glory to God. I say glory to God. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's go. Everybody born in Bethlehem, Judea, during the reign of King Herod. Asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as he rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this. Okay? He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem, Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the rulers of Judea, for a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people. You know, remember I told you, that even the place he will be born. I get the point. Was in the prophecy. Even the place he will be born. Okay. Quickly. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Okay. Go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy, okay? They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure and gave him gifts of gold. Frankie says, when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country. Pay attention, by another route. Why? God warned them not to have returned to Herod. Hallelujah. God warned them. Because then God knew Herod had evil plans. The wise men did not know. But God warned them not to return. Don't go back to that guy. Take another route. You know, this goes to show that, you see, listen to me, guys. God protects the anointed. Amen? And what I mean, I'm talking about you. Are you anointed? Are you anointed? What is the anointing? Or which the anointing is a person. The person of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:30, yes, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost in you is the anointing. Hallelujah. God protects the anointed. To be able to keep Jesus safe, he had to appear to them in a dream. As if that wasn't enough, the angel that appeared to them in a dream went to Joseph in verse 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up! Flee to Egypt with the child. And his mother, the angel said, stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. You see, God always moves ahead of the devil. In the Christmas story, we learn that God protects his own. He protects his anointed. Every time I hit the road, every time there's a terrible situation, I remember that God will always protect his anointed. He will go the extra mile to do that. And I tell you, by God, there is a protection of God upon your life. You must begin to live and walk with confidence. God will protect you. He will. He had to go all the way. He told the wise men. He had to go all the way and told Joseph and say, run away this night. Run away this night. So the child will be safe. At every time there was an attack, the Bible says, when the enemy rose like a flood, the Spirit of God raised up a standard against him. At every time there was an attack on that prophet, on that Christ, God made a way to protect him. And I can tell you this for free. God will always protect his own. And I don't know who needs to hear this. You need to live your life without fear. Are you getting me, guys? You need to live your life without fear. God will protect you. And I tell you what, he will go the extra mile to protect you. When he wanted to protect the people of Israel, he had to go as far as forming a pillar of cloud. That was practical. Have you ever asked yourself, no, I know you're not taking note of this. When they were, you know how many of them that crossed Red Sea? You know how many of them? Over 2 million of them, 2 to 3 million of them crossed Red Sea. You know how long it would take for that crowd to pass through Red Sea? Why didn't the Egyptians catch up with them? There was a pillar of cloud stopping them from coming close until they were done crossing. God will go the extra mile to protect you. I know, whenever you want to live, you have to say that to yourself. He will go the extra mile. He had to go as far as, you see, if he might go, you see, he went as far as telling the shepherd or the wise men, don't take that route. He can go as far as telling that trailer man that was going to crush you to delay his movement, to take another route, or not to travel that all. You know, there are no coincidences on the earth. Hope you know, right? No coincidences. God goes the extra mile to keep people safe. So whenever I think about Christmas, I think about how God protected Christ and made sure he was fine and no harm could come upon him. And he will keep you safe. I say, God will keep you safe. I say, God will keep you safe. He will keep you safe. He will keep you safe. And I want to say this, let there be no cause for alarm. Whether it's a physical attack, whether it's spiritual, whether it's a health challenge, let there be no fear at all. Your health will be fine. Are you getting me? The Bible says, when we are walking, hallelujah. When we are walking through the wilderness. Oh, let's look at that. Ooh, glory to God. Psalm, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Psalm 105 and verse 15. Hallelujah. We quote that all the time, but recently the Lord just took me there and I was looking at it again. 105 verse 15. Hallelujah. Ooh. Or maybe from verse, okay, let's start from verse 12 with NLT. He said this when there were few in number, a tiny group of strangers in Canaan. They wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another, yet he did not let anyone oppress them. I get the point? He will not let anyone oppress you. And I tell you guys, if you are afraid of oppression, God will not let anyone oppress you. And if there's someone that's been oppressing you, it's time to stand up in the place of prayer. He won't let anyone oppress you. He lets no one oppress you. In fact, look at the next statement. He warned kings on their behalf. What did he tell the kings? Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. That statement was not about some prophets. It was about the whole nation of Israel. As we are moving from place to place, he said, touch my anointed. And that's something he did for Jesus. When Herod wanted to touch the anointed, he said, touch not my anointed. Keep the guy safe. God will keep you safe. I said, God will keep you safe. Say that about it. Say, God will keep me safe. Say, God will keep me safe. So I'm fine. I'm safe. I'm protected. I'm covered. I'm delivered. No harm comes near my dwelling place. Say, there is no harm. There's no hurt. There's no shame for me. Glory to God. Remember that was what God gave us at the beginning of this year. Remember? And he kept to his word. Amen? No harm. No hurts. No shame. God will go the extra mile to protect me. He warned kings on their behalf. Yeah, I like that. He warned kings on their behalf. You see, he will warn robbers on your behalf. And tell them, see, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. He will warn them on your behalf. He will warn witches on your behalf. That are planning to go do something to you or your family. And a night before that day, say, touch not my anointed. Amen. You know, the king took Abraham's wife. What about? He's a nice apartment in the night. He didn't even say you will die. He said you are a dead man. No, he did not say you will die. He said you are a dead man already. He said, I want that. He said, that man, you have his wife. He's a prophet. Can't miss anything, pray for you. If not, you are gone. He will warn kings on your behalf. He will warn kings on your behalf. I feel like saying it again. He will warn kings on your behalf. He will warn terrorists on your behalf. He will warn kidnappers on your behalf. The Lord will keep you safe. He will go the extra mile to do that. He kept. Imagine Herod caught Jesus. You know, that's what I tell you guys. You need to realize that God will go all the way. Imagine Herod caught Jesus when he was young. And killed him. Imagine Herod caught Jesus at that early age. Would have been done for. And I feel like saying this to somebody. This is why you are not going to die very soon. Because you are on a divine assignment. Imagine Satan caught me when I was 2. And took my life. There will be no PG today. Possibly no you in ministry. Glory to God. And that's, you know, there is something about you. You cannot be wasted now. I'm telling you something. You're on a divine assignment. This I'm telling you, it keeps me safe even as I'm traveling. Sometimes things want to happen. I say to myself, see, you are on a deep. What is going to happen? If I'm no more here. Say, go raise another person. No, I'm still here. He doesn't need to raise another person. I'm here. Glory to God. You know, that statement of God raise another person sometimes is a statement of dishonor. And I want to say that somebody has blessed you all over the year, has been good to you all over all your life. I wonder you quarrel with him. And they tell you, remember that guy was good to you? You say, forget it. If he didn't do it, another person would have done it. You're a very dishonorable person. Say amen. I say you're a dishonorable person in Jesus' name. That's also what you are. Very dishonorable. Why didn't God use another person? He said, forget that thing. It was just those days we were in school. The guy was just good to me. Even if he did not do itself. Amen. It's just like saying, if Jesus had died, God could use another person. From where? You see, when God knows how important we are in his projects, and it's not just about me. Amen. It's about you too. He will warn kings for your sake. Do you know why he was warning kings not to touch them? His reason was simple. If kings had touched the nation of Israel and wiped all of them away, there will be no Jesus. Because Jesus was going to come from that lineage of Israel. So he had to warn kings, stay away from these ones. They are on assignment. And I tell you, God will protect you. In the birth of Christ, we see that God will go the extra mile to protect his seed, to protect the anointed. To protect the anointed. And I want to challenge someone here. Let there be no fear anymore. You are the anointed of God. And I wrote a carnage. And as God's prophet, I'm even issuing a warning to everyone that has oppressed you. I'm warning them on your behalf. Touch not this anointed. Do God's prophets no harm. I'm warning them on your behalf. Hallelujah. I'm warning them on your behalf. That sickness that has oppressed you, touch not the anointed of God. Do them not. Let you talk like this. I'm the anointed of God. I'm the anointed of God. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm anointed. And God is warning kings for my sake. God is warning kings for my sake. Glory to God. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. He rebuked kings for their sake. He rebuked kings on their accounts. He told them, touch my anointed. You know, NLT says, do not touch my chosen people. Do not hurt my prophets. Don't touch them. Hallelujah. And that's what he did for Jesus. In Christmas, we learn that. And that's what he's doing for you today. And the final lesson we'll learn, at least for this morning, from Christmas, or the Christmas story, is that God is powerful. And God works miracles. You know, I kept this for the last because the Christmas story is a miracle on its own. How many of you know this? The Christmas story is a story that you are not supposed to believe. Even though that is in the Bible, you shouldn't believe it. How a virgin will conceive. Some of you that are in the medical profession, you will know how impossible that statement is. Amen? Amen, no. Let me even ask you. If a virgin conceives, it means she's still a virgin, right? Right? And her hymen is still intact. How did she give birth? Without CS. Say amen. Everything about the Christmas story was miraculous. Luke chapter 1 verse 34. Luke chapter 1 verse 34. A virgin will conceive and be with a child. Are you there? Luke 1 verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? You know, NLT said, Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. I'm a virgin. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. the baby will be, that will born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. Glory to God. What a miracle. Verse 36, he said, what's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son, and is now in her 6th month. Verse 37, let's together, everybody. Verse 37. For nothing is impossible. That's the story of Christmas. And nothing. The two greatest miracles we have in the Bible is the virgin birth. The second one is the resurrection of Christ. These are the two greatest miracles. Amen? The virgin birth, and the resurrection of Christ is more amazing is that he didn't just rise from physical death. Someone remembers the way? He rose also from spiritual death. But you see, the birth of Christ is also an amazing, amazing miracle. And Christmas should be a reminder to you that God works miracles. And every Christmas, let it strengthen your heart. That if there's any miracle you are expecting from God, God will give you the miracle. He will. He will. He will give you the miracle. God works miracles. An amazing, amazing, amazing miracle. A young girl has never been with a man. Yet carry the baby. Such an amazing, such, you can't think, if you think about it medically, your brain is going to bust. See, that's why some atheists don't used to agree with the reality of God. Because your mind cannot carry it. A virgin birth. A virgin birth. Conceived as a virgin. Carried as a virgin. And gave birth. And that's the miracle of Christmas. And I tell you, this season, God is going to give you a miracle. Because we're celebrating an amazing miracle today. God is going to give you a miracle. A miracle in your finance. A miracle in your health. A miracle in your family. A miracle in your business. A miracle in your studies. God will give you a miracle. He will give you a miracle. And I want to tell you this. There is nothing impossible with God. See, whenever you think of God doing anything but you think it's impossible, sit down, start from Christmas. Imagine the virgin birth. Imagine how a woman will have a child. If that could happen, there is nothing you are asking for that will not do. Nothing. Nothing. If that single thing could happen, forget that thing. There is nothing. He can cause new organs to be formed. He can create new kidneys. He can create new livers. I don't even get the point. He can. He can turn the situation around. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I was watching a testimony of online, and I was so amazed. A guy had, when I heard that, I said, this guy is dead. His heart was bad. His kidney bad. His liver bad. What else do you want? What else do you have? Satan is a wicked Satan. But God is a miracle worker. God is a miracle. And I want to say this to you this morning. If you came in here expecting any miracle from God, you have come to the right place. The right place is where God is. He works miracles. All he told Mary was simple. The power of the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. That is how the miracle will come. And I tell you, by the power of the Holy Ghost, every miracle you need is delivered to you in the name of Jesus. Whatever that has oppressed your health is setting you free in the name of Jesus. He's setting you free. He said the simple thing is the power of God will come upon you. The Holy Ghost will overshadow you. There is such a thing as the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you know that. There's such a thing as the power of God. When it's in motion, it can work out anything. I just told you guys a story. The story of the guy that they paid and had to pay, they employed him, paid him the arrears. Everything in one day. Everything. Miracles are real. You see, if you hustle and work hard in life, you'll make money. But you only make money to the level of your hustle. But there is something about God aiding a man's strength, a man's sources. And God aiding a man's hustle. He puts hand for you and leads you on. And you know that you are earning $180,000. But you've spent over $7 million in 1 month. And some of you, I declare, 10 times increase upon your life. In the name of Jesus. A 10 times increase in the name of Jesus.
Wealth you cannot trace. 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 In the name of Jesus.
God will give you that miracle. God works miracles.
The virgin will conceive and be with a child.
You see, these are miracles I'm talking about this morning. That when Ali Kabada, whenever we come to Christmas, the kind of miracles I pray about are miracles that makes the ear tingle. Because that's the kind of thing that happened in incarnation. That a virgin carried a baby. Imagine those things in the Bible. Maybe you're a father and your daughter comes back. She's 21. I say, Dad, I'm pregnant. I say, are you mad? Who got you pregnant? I say, that nobody. An angel or the Holy Spirit. The way you beat the child. These are miracles that people cannot believe. But it happened at Christmas. God will give you a miracle that men will not believe. He will give you a miracle that will shock people. Now when they hear, they say, now wow. And I rama to go right there. And I say this to you. That between now and 31st, the Lord will give you a miracle. That which is remaining that you have not seen, the Lord will complete it. He will perfect 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 it. In the name of Jesus. People will hear and they will be shocked. You know that there is somebody following this meeting now. You have a loved one that you have been taking care of. And they've left the person to die. The person is so sick. They've left him to die. The Lord will restore that person. The Lord will restore that person. In the name of Jesus. Nothing will go wrong. Nothing will go wrong. There is a healing upon heart conditions here. You have a heart condition, a heart issue. The Lord is fixing it up this moment. Talk in other tongues all over this place. Come on, let me hear you. Mame, no, Masha, dear, dear. Just talk in other tongues. Hey, no, la parade cana. Jina ne no lando di adama no na di adede no sati adashi. O na de la te gora mati gara de gora mada. Iyo lo do ma jina ni ana. Stand your feet all over this place. Mana no la na ni ana. Mana no na ni ana. Da ba ba sha da 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 ba da 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 da. Intro mati gara mati. Just pray. Come on. Just pray. Just pray. Just pray, just pray, just pray, just pray, just pray. We are celebrating the miracle of Christmas, the miracle of Christ's birth, the God that cannot lie, the God that loves us uncontrollably, the God that will talk to us about anything before he does it, the God that always protects, the God that is all powerful and all miraculous. Hey, Agarabatoka Shantaladish. That which you are asking of God is possible. That which you are asking of God is possible. That which you are asking of God is possible. That which you are asking of God is possible. That which you are asking of God is possible. That which you are acting or asking of God is possible. Ramane Akash. Ledo Dabarada Nabashoto to the Pasuta Yakash.
You are the King of Kings,
omnipotent One. I worship You for Your majesty is forever.
One more time, omnipotent One.
Omnipotent One,
I worship you
for Your majesty is forever.
One more time, say omnipotent One,
omnipotent One,
I worship You.
Your majesty is forever.
One more time.
But they said he had no cure. In the name of Jesus, Maritikane Ekoradea, Adije Basita, the Lord give you a Christmas miracle. He heals that condition. He heals that condition in the name of Jesus. He heals that condition in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'll give you 3 minutes. If you have any situation in your family, in your finance that looks impossible, pray about it. I will say amen to it and it will be done in 24 hours. Pray about it. I will say amen to it. Just pray. Any situation they've termed impossible, any situation they've termed impossible, any situation they've termed impossible, in your home, in your finance, in your studies, in your health, just pray. Pray about it. Pray. Take 3 minutes. Pray about it. Pray about it. Pray about it. With God, nothing shall be impossible. 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 Just pray about it. I speak a turnaround. A turnaround. A turnaround. A turnaround. A turnaround. A turnaround. In the name of Jesus. A turnaround. A turnaround. A turnaround. A turnaround. Have you seen this? We started praying. Someone has a growth, a lump. A lady has a lump in her breast, one of her breasts, and they say it's cancerous. In the name of Jesus, I declare that lump is removed now. It is removed now. Whatever it represents is gone to in the name of Jesus. God heals you in the name of Jesus. Broken bones are fixed. Broken bones are fixed. Broken bones are fixed. Dislocated joints are made strong. In the name of Jesus. I don't know someone that has a broken bone in his vertebral joint right now. The Lord is fixing it this moment. He's fixing it this moment. He's fixing it this moment. Wherever you are, do what you couldn't do with that bone, with that joint. The Lord has healed. Bend if you couldn't bend. Move your leg if you couldn't move it. Jesus is healing you this moment. All over this place. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. God has turned it. In the name of Jesus. He has turned it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I sense strong in my heart. Help for families. Help for families. If you are here crossing over your family, receive the help you need. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's done. Give him praise all over this place. Rejoice! 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 Hallelujah!
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.